Why am I not surprised that the name Jeffrey Kessler popped up here?
Well, I practiced with Jeffrey for a few years earlier in my career. He is by far and away the most intelligent and well-versed sports attorney I've worked with. And based upon his expertise over many years, he's involved in just about every matter that involves the NFL and NBA players and their players' union. There is absolutely nobody in the country, perhaps the world, that would have a better shot at cross-examining Roger Goodell, not only based on his litigation ability, but based on his very long background representing the NFL players and their union.
Now, it sounds like, Mark, in addition to that, DeMaurice Smith, the NFLPA executive director, he may be doing the questioning. There's also a report that Peter Ginsburg, who is another lawyer who has been a, I don't know if I'd say a nemesis, but he's certainly familiar, shall we say, to the NFL power brokers, that he may be involved at all. Try to put this into legal perspective for me. What is Roger Goodell facing right now legally?
There are going to be many issues at play here. The most important one is whether Roger Goodell had the power under the NFL collective bargaining agreement first to indefinitely suspend Ray Rice at all, and second, whether he had the right to do that after putting in place a two-game suspension for Ray Rice, and third, whether he had the right to do that after saying that the suspensions for anyone that engaged in domestic abuse was six games. So I think there are various different levels on which Roger Goodell's behavior is really subject to challenge in terms of violating the collective bargaining agreement. Now, you threw out a few names of people who could potentially be involved, and they each would seem to have a very different role.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Kessler has historically been the lead litigator in all matters for the NFL Players Association for more than the past 25 years. And it seems that Jeffrey Kessler would be involved in cross-examining Roger Goodell in this proceeding from the standpoint of representing the Players Association's interest.
Okay.
And the union overall would seem to have a big problem with the idea of a single suspension being articulated and then changed. You also mentioned Peter Ginsburg, and people are probably wondering why all these people involved. Ginsburg has really built his name not representing the Players Union, but by representing individual players. Most recent to this, it was Wilma in the incident with the New Orleans Saints and Bountygate.
Mm-hmm. I think he also represented, didn't he, the two Vikings players who about what was happening? They were suspended for using the star caps, the sort of performance enhancing substance.
The year before,
right?
That's right.
Right.
So he probably, if he's involved, would be doing this from representing the interest of Ray Rice, especially if the interest of Ray Rice in some way departs from that of the union overall.
Mm-hmm. What could happen here?
I think Ray Rice has an incredibly strong case. Forget for a moment whether we like Ray Rice as a person. And forget for a moment how bothered we are by Ray Rice's domestic abuse conduct. And even more so, having seen it on television. The league and the Players Association agreed to give the commissioner the power to suspend, but that power was a singular power. And Roger Goodell, maybe intelligently, maybe foolishly, opted for a two-game suspension. And that was on par with what domestic abuse in the past has been in the NFL. Maybe that's a good policy, maybe that's a terrible policy. Irrespective, once that punishment is given, that was his first action, and you would expect Ray Rice to be back after Game 3. Then all of a sudden, Roger Goodell sees this video, gets a lot of backlash, and decides we have to treat domestic violence more seriously. So he changes domestic violence penalties moving forward to six games. And again, maybe that's a good thing, maybe that's a bad thing, but Rice already had his suspension. Then he turns around and says Ray Rice's suspension is going to be indefinite.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be the two he already gave Rice. It's not going to be the six that he said the new policy is. He just pulled something out of thin air. And that is going to be very difficult for a neutral arbitrator to uphold because it seems to go directly under the requirements of the league collective bargaining agreement and directly under a directive that Goodell even put in place himself.
Mark Edelman joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. You made the point about, and this is going to be difficult, I think, for fans, separating what we may think about Ray Rice and how reprehensible his actions were, separating that from the fact that the commissioner may have, from a distance, it appears he certainly has overstepped his boundary. I mean, the whole, I don't even know if you would technically call this double jeopardy, Mark, but that whole notion is very important in the rule of law and in the adjudicating of issues, isn't it? The whole idea that you can't sort of be tried or you can't be convicted twice for the same thing after a conviction has come down or after a suspension has come down, whatever, after a penalty has come down. I mean, that's a fairly important tenet in any, whether it's a court case or in any society, that you shouldn't be subject to that.
And perhaps it's even worse. Perhaps it's actually triple jeopardy here.
True.
Because the piece that we haven't spoken about was after the 2-game suspension was put in place for Ray Rice, the next step was that the Ravens released Ray Rice from their roster. Although the collective bargaining agreement does not specifically talk about double jeopardy of a player, there is a provision in there that prevents double punishment of a player for off-field wrongdoing. Only the commissioner or the team could punish. You can't have both. So you have this really weird situation where the commissioner put in place a punishment, which technically should preclude the team from then issuing a punishment, but the team did so as well, and Ray Rice is now challenging that and arguing for money for wrongful termination. And then after the team punished, Goodell did yet again. So even if theoretically, and I don't think it's right, but even if theoretically Roger Goodell was able to punish and then increase the punishment, the fact that the Ravens took action against Ray Rice intermittently clearly prevents Roger Goodell from stepping in and doing so, because once the team takes action, the league can't, and that's explicitly in the CBA.
It also appears as if Ravens president Dick Cass and Ozzie Newsome will also have to appear. And in some ways, Mark, that those depositions are going to be almost as interesting, because I think they may help flesh out just what the commissioner's thought process, it's the only phrase that comes to mind, but what his thought process was from the first time he heard about this incident until that news conference.
I think that's very right. And interestingly here, this is so different from what the arbitrator Frederick Horowitz decided in the Alex Rodriguez case. When Rodriguez was appealing his case to Frederick Horowitz, Bud Selig was able to avoid being called to testify. Here, not only do we have Roger Goodell having to issue a statement, but whatever he says would be subject to challenge and impeachability. And this is a very big moment for the NFL players, because you have a commissioner who's walked in and taken this Kenesaw Mountain Landis, I set the rules, I run the whole show mentality, and this is the very first opportunity under Roger Goodell where not only are the players getting true neutral arbitration of a Goodell decision, but it can be challenged on its very merits. And you know, Goodell might walk away from this, even in the public, not looking as pristine as he's tried to present himself over the years.
Well, I was going to say, Mark, too, the takeaway I get from this is that regardless of what is said in this room, we're starting to see a transformation in how much power the NFL commissioner has, aren't we? I mean, this seems to me to be a case. I don't want to say I hate talking to a lawyer and using the word case, but it would seem to me to be the perfect example of what happens when too much power is concentrated in one person's hand and there's not enough thought for due process.
I agree with you very much. And along the same lines, if you go back to when the last NFL collective bargaining agreement was reached, the one that DeMaurice Smith signed with the league right after the Brady litigation ended, I'm sure your listeners remember quite well that it looked like there was going to be no start to the NFL season, and everyone said there was no way it could happen, and lo and behold, the players and teams reached a new agreement and got back on the field even for the last couple of preseason games. One of the very important things that the Players Association certainly should have ironed out before ending the dispute and reaching a new CBA was to make sure there was neutral arbitration. The Players Association failed to do so, and it was a very big failure in my eyes by Dean Marie Smith and the Players Association. Nevertheless, after this Ray Rice fiasco and Goodell being involved and not being involved and then recusing himself, in this one particular case, the Players Association were able to get that very important right or opportunity that they failed to bargain for. And to me, that's so interesting.